Welcome to another broadcast of Project Urantia on the Artist First World Radio Network. An ever-growing number of people are coming to the realization that just maybe celestial beings have been influencing the path of this world since there has been a world. In my humble opinion, one gentleman who knows more about that than anybody else is our guest of honor every hour. It's Michael in Maui. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Z-Man.
How's life out in paradise this week?
Oh, it's a bit blustery, windy, overcast. The ocean looks uninviting, but that's still pretty good.
Well, weekly, Michael seems to, in this wonderful world he lives in, he seems to get continuing information and is in basically in contact with the Celestials. We invite your questions and emails, listeners, at dj@artistfirst.com. And tonight we're going to, well, I'll let you take it away.
Okay. Well, one of the things that has, I've been, you know, basically in various ways kept informed on some of the things that are about to happen or, you know, were given a while before and have come to pass. But this one is something I was informed about a while back by a high Danal teacher, a teacher of essentially a new way of, a consciousness, a way of being, or I guess the way the real universe functions, because we are essentially separated. And it has to do with how the human race will be essentially guided and elevated, and there will be actually a new paradigm, a new way of things, because the interface would not be, you know, essentially a lonesome activity on planet Earth. As we've, you know, more and more been discovering, we have been essentially guided through our development, and there have been some disagreements in the way in which the human race should have gone. And this was accumulated, I guess, in terms of a grand war, a rebellion. It was typified by considered the Lucifer Rebellion. Well, 2012 marks the end of an age. This particular age is sort of like an agreement that happened over a long period of time. And from, I mean, ages, I'm talking about thousands of years of essentially like almost like a type of lease agreement on planet Earth. Well, 2012 marks a type of expiration because of the alignment, and it would make certain make logical sense for the Celestials to use the galactic alignment, perhaps it would be a good way of saying it, as a deadline, which could be predicted. And as I was informed, we're very, very close. Absolutely. If my nose touched that particular sculpture, we would be at the expiration date. Well, I was placed at a point where I was looking at the actual grain structure in the carvings of this older Oldic civilization that really was informed about the end of the age, and they created that what we know as the Long Count calendar and the Mayan calendar, and that was based on information that Celestial were giving out at a time. They had hoped, of course, to reach a different position. We have come to a point where much of our technology has fulfilled itself. There is a point of divergence right now, which if allowed to go awry, it could really destroy life on our planet, because we've gone into areas of genetics that have interfered with the natural progress of life, kind of actually unnatural, and our work with the very small, the nuclear area, atomic area, moving into quantum areas, even smaller, have interfered with the progress of our planets or the safety because of, well, the obvious problems like the Fukushima power plants and things like that. There is even more in this galactic alignment that was predicted or spoken of biblically, and these are typified by the sounding of a trumpet, which is happening right now. There's, of course, these sounds that are being heard worldwide, which I was made aware of years ago, 40 years ago, in terms of announcing changes of age. These, of course, I was pointed to, not the Bible, but of all things, Immanuel Velikovsky's writings. And that was shortly after returning to planet Earth, after I was I spent time being educated, aligned mentally, having certain things done to me, so actually made me more attuned to a lot of what the channel sources, the source to bring forth this kind of knowledge to the world. And what we haven't yet discovered, and we've gone points of trying to find the concept of God particle and things like that. But what I did find, and what I was exposed to in the excursion and time with the Celestials at the New Jerusalem, that is the architectural sphere, mothership, or whatever you want to call it, this grand place where many celestial beings of various origins, both mortal as well as immortal, live and work together. We are apparently going to be interfaced with them shortly. But one of the phenomenons that I was shown was material that is not of this earth and not common to even our solar system. Now, this was, of course, in one of the most general senses, pointed out in this plant that I was able to look at, which behaved itself and moved, glowed, had a fiery red and various colors moving through it, as if a liveliness about, as almost animated, like a perhaps a dancer would animate, but, you know, like a ballet dancer. It seemed to have that type of beauty and fluidity. Now, with that, in comparison to ancient scripture, it would have been that bush which burned and was not consumed, and the mountain which Moses received the Ten Commandments, in which he heard a voice of the Lord speaking. Now, of course, there are many who spoke in place of the Lord, and this is one of the conditions, one of the cases. And we are about to go through a type of blast, not necessarily just from the sun, but from the actual center of our galaxy. I'm not sure exactly, but I know the Celestials use this type of energy, this type of beam, in their chamber, which you go in. Basically, it's a chamber of life. They said you go into the chamber and you live forever. And I did see one person exiting the chamber just before I went into the room where the chamber was. It was on. It was lit up. It had a radiance about it. And the procedure was very short. It was a blast of energy, I believe. And the Celestials know about this energy and have been using it for quite some time. And that's essentially how they're able to transition one base type of being, and we being biologic, and based purely on the material around us, to one of a higher realm, which finds its basis just adding to that which we don't have. So it's additive in terms of what happens there. As such, it creates a type of life which is not the same as our biologic life. It empowers it. That's the reason why they call it the chamber where you go in and you never die. And it is something that they possess, and something that also happens naturally, of all things. And that's probably the way they were able to gain understanding use of this unknown radiance or radiation. I don't know what kind of radiance it is. It seemed to look just like a tanning booth, the chamber. So it was essentially to be blasted by something close to light, but not light, perhaps. A type of material which adds to ourselves, making us essentially immortal, making mortal immortal. Now, this is sort of out there, but it was taught to me, and it was shown to me, and it was also, we're also given knowledge about what would happen during a transition, because our planet will not immediately go to a point in which all of a sudden they're immortals or running around all over the place. Actually, it will happen, but in a controlled manner. The lift will happen. There will be individuals who will be taken. They'll be taken to the ship, educated in a very similar sense to what I was went through, except one more step would be made. That step would be, it would enter these chambers, go through the change, come out, go in a mortal, come out essentially immortal, and that would only take place perhaps after graduating from school, you might say, and understanding the needs that the planet will have. They will be later implanted back into the planet, having these special abilities and gifts, including the what the Urantia book calls a Marantia body, a Marantia material body. And with that, they would have essentially very long lifespans. When even the original Celestials came over, who had lost contact with this technology, some of them actually died a natural death. They physically, the body got old and died. I believe at least two of the types of bodies that are remaining here on Earth have been discovered are patterned against those who I met there, and those were a type with a very elongated skulls, tall conic skulls, and they were one type. They were very scientific, and probably left a lot of the science and math behind, and the understanding of the at least within the realm of our local system, knowledge of the galaxy and the stars and things like that. Also, the timing and the Mayan calendar, essentially. The other one was those who I promised to help. Their body type had a head that was very massive, two major lobes, and so when I thought their brains were outside of their head, but a very human-looking face. Both had very human-looking face. So that body, they're both of those body types. Essentially, when disconnected from this radiation, would age eventually, and they did, because they were cut off. Others were evacuated because they were not part of this rebellion, and were essentially loyal. And that's those to whom I were this New Jerusalem architectural sphere orbiting are the loyal followers. It is a ship that is based on the Creator's Son's design, and his is unique because his sphere, architectural sphere, radiates light or is luminous. And that program is about to come to a very interesting start. And I don't know exactly when, and I don't know if the 2012 deadline is the actual firing point, but there will be this change that happens that will literally turn switches on people's DNA. They will change the very fabric of many of these people, individual human beings who have been selected, chosen for upgrade, essentially upgrade, that's what it is. And moving from one level of mortality to another level of mortality while looking almost the same. I believe they would be indistinguishable from a mortal. They would possess other skills which we would consider supernatural or psychic powers, but there would be just additional abilities. It's probably the source of some of my abilities since I was exposed to them. An interesting phenomenon about these individuals would be a type of glow, which I possess in returning from the New Jerusalem. I had a glow which my dad was amazed about, and you know, it wasn't far away from my body, but it was far enough, maybe about a half an inch away, that there was a haze or glow about me for a while, and it later went away.
And they all stood on the other side of the room. Give me a hug. No.
As a matter of fact, that's exactly what he did.
Well, if you were radioactive, I mean, it had to cross his mind.
Yeah. But it really, what I'm trying to explain here is that the radiance was because this particular atmosphere and maybe radiance, I'm not sure if it was inclusive in the environment in a New Jerusalem, but it affected me to that point. So there was some of some of the changes that happened. Was just also from being there. So this results in some things that do happen. Although I don't consider myself anything but just an ordinary biological human being. But there will be this change because I did not go through the life change, which would essentially have, according to them, the base biologic body would have died. My body would have died, but in its place would be a type of a body which many of them possess, which, as I say, indistinguishable in some level, some of them, from a natural body. And this was much of the point what I was able to interface with in terms of the teacher, the Daniel teacher, who introduced me to at least the knowledge or the name of the Book of Earth, the Urantia book, which he said had some understanding of what's going on with them and what goes on with them. And I would retain some knowledge that is not in the Urantia book and then be able to explain it. And then and this is what I'm doing now, because I'm instructed to at least move people's consciousness past 2012 into the new level, the new paradigm, and having beings with higher abilities, essentially you know, the human race has always thought of itself as the absolute superior race above all the animals on the planet. However, that will change after this type of radiance flash that would be given. I guess certain ones who are attuned will actually be able to have a different body, different consciousness also, because along with that comes an interface, much like what I have in terms of what the celestials have, and the celestial consciousness, you might say. So this is, you know, essentially looking at 2012 and knowing that we are seeing right now a very active sun. We're seeing coronal mass ejections. We're seeing another thing interesting is tornadoes, like vortexes that are whipping around on the sun, many, perhaps even one diameter away from the sun, sun's diameter away, which is quite far, and perhaps the cause of some of the acoustics that we are hearing right now around the world. A lot of this had to do with a prelude of some kind of cyclical energy that would pervade the planet and cause periodic instances of soul retrievals. These soul retrievals are a time of harvest, you might say, a harvest of dormant or sleeping souls of a certain resonance, and that resonance, of course, being one that looks for truth and one that looks for, essentially, looks for God. And that happened once before, and that happened at the actual time of Christ, 2,000 years ago. And another one seems to be about to start again. Also happened perhaps at the giving of the law. And the sounds of the trumpets were heard also then. So these things are in alignment. They're happening. But the picture is what happens to the human race. The human race is one race that would essentially drop many of the techniques of control, because these who have controlled the world for so long would be essentially stripped of power. And one of their ways of stripping them of power is that their tools of power fall apart, no longer function. And their last ones, of course, are in terms of fear and base need. But these things will be actually lived through. We will, human race will live through much of this. And on the other side is an actual different life, one in which is closer to what I experienced in the New Jerusalem with the celestials themselves, on a higher level, a higher scale of being, with much longer time frames in you know, their horizon. You know, you know, when we have perhaps short-term horizons in the business world, long-term view many times is only 3 years, and short-term is quarterly. And when you look at theirs, it's in the thousands of years and generations, and very different, very long-term, but only because of having the kinds of long-term spans of lifespans, and perhaps with that comes a great amount of patience. But yet, they do say that things will happen suddenly, fairly suddenly, in terms of geologic time, absolutely quick. And this is some of the things that this year will be posing for us right now. And this is the point in which the celestials wanted to be, to at least let our minds pass that point, go go to the other side and see what's going to be happening. And what's going to be happening is a celestial consciousness that is high, that is aligned with the radiance and the understanding that comes from them for living a life with that hidden purpose that's been hidden all these generations and of our civilization building, which is that the human life's destiny is to ascend, to become absolutely a divine being, to take each individual from the base animal all the way up to walk with the gods, small g, and that is the absolute destiny, and the way it's been is that shroud has been over the eyes of the planet for so long because it was placed in a different category, one that doesn't function in the same timetable. But because there will be individuals who are functioning there, actually able to see them face to face, they will actually be teachers. Great amount of teaching going on. And the kind, not so much the classroom type teaching, but experiential teaching, teaching just in time. When the student or when the people are ready to receive, then the learning comes. Then the demonstration comes about. Then the awe and the wonder comes about. And then people actually will see those who have come to that new awareness suddenly become aware that things have changed. And they are no longer bound by the base economy of the world, financial restraints and financial burdens that seem to control the world. It'd be a very different engine that moves the planet forward. But technology itself will take great leaps and moves, but one in which does not destroy our planet. And these things will be literally shared. And then we would have a type of logical, intelligent guidance to our planet's move toward grand age of great enlightenment, and one that doesn't create wars over and over again. So anyway, this is something that they put forth. And they also, I remember him pointing out some scripture and saying, you know, that these people would be literally becoming like flames of fire moving from being implanted into the planet, and in a sense, like you start a fire, it just sort of spread over the planet. But also, these servants or these changed individuals would have with themselves knowledge, but also have had this exposure to the life extension chamber or the life, the super life chambers, I guess you might say. And this was given the name Morancha, these who have been moved from one level to another would be moving toward the pure spiritual, would be the Morancha, which this is a soul dimension, the soul realm, and also inclusive of what that material, that base, that plant, that tree that burns and was not consumed, that is the material of Morancha. That is at least one example of a type of Morancha material. And much of these messengers, these servants, will be possessing this flame of fire, this Morancha material. And It comes through perhaps the technologies of some of these would be used to move some of these people into the chambers. Others will be exposed to that blast, which comes through because of the alignment. And this is a blast of energy that we don't know anything about. We have no idea about this. Yet the celestials have been using that forever. So I guess this is pretty much where we headed. And if one of the scriptures that was used to just point it out was, let's say from the Bible, was like from Psalm 104, where it says, Psalm 104, let's say verse 4, and he makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. It can be, you know, interpreted many ways, but he was pointing it out, you know, the teacher, that this message basically was implanted that this age would come in which his servants would have and possess this type of characteristics of a changed Marantia material body, and their lifespans would extend to that which would be close to the life of a tree. And that was also from biblical talk. You can find that. But I remember discussing the life of a tree with him. And then at that time really realized that a tree could live almost 1,000 years.
I believe the oldest tree on the planet is close to 2,000 years old. Am I mistaken about that?
I was just amazed at how old some of these trees were. That's one of the things that he was trying to tell me about, and I was getting like too much information shock. You know, it's hard to absorb because my head was spinning, because everything I was understanding was in the base observation of the natural things around. Yet I was exposed to all of this. Wow, this technology, their understanding. And then now, pointing out that it's time to share some of this higher stuff that was shown to me that's a little bit far out, you know, yet we can find them in biblical scripture, you know, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you know, kind of thing. The mortal put, the corruptible puts on the incorruptible kind of concept, you know, but it was shown to me beforehand.
Do you believe references in the Bible to certain individuals living, you know, 700, 800, 900 years, do you think that was actually an accurate measurement, I mean, based on what you've been discussing?
Well, I think it was a mixture of both. I think there were some of those who had been exposed to the life extension were living very long. Others, there was a problem with conversion of time in terms of moon cycles versus solar cycles, years. So the counting of a year was different. So when you look at the term, those who had the celestials, who perhaps wore a hat, they looked just ordinary, like any other human, except for they wear a special hat. They may have lived very long because they were those who at one time participated in the regeneration chambers and were exposed to this Marantia energy and later lost it.
What happened there? If someone is exposed to this, had you been exposed to this and they said, well, your mortal body dies, but you live forever, you know, does that mean if somebody walks up and chops your head off, is there no way to kill you?
No, that's not true. That there is a way in which that you got it right down there. The Marantia body can be dismembered, but to dismember many parts of the body require that all it has to do is rejoin itself, and it'll connect back. But the head was severed from the body, it wouldn't know how to reattach. So essentially, it would be kind of rendered dysfunctional, and then of course the soul would leave and the body would no longer be functional. Life would move out of the body.
That individual then could not reconstruct himself in another body in this?
His soul would be able to be re-implanted without any problem.
So he goes back to the mothership, picks another body, and there he goes.
Yeah. Essentially, something like that, yeah.
So really, you can't kill him, right? Who's in this condition, I mean, you blow him to smithereens.
Sort of stop him, but, you know, they wouldn't really die.
They just go home, get another thing, and come back.
That's one of the characteristics about their understanding. And it's also one of the things that when we had these human suits, when Nella told me, don't go in that room, I went on the outside and peeked in, and I saw what appeared to be human bodies hung up like a coat, you know. And I thought, wow, you got dead humans in there. And then she told me to go back and observe, and then I realized that these are real bodies, but they actually could move themselves into. So, you know, there's a demonstration in which, there was an incident where Tan actually called up Curtis Cooperman, and I heard that conversation on his answering machine tape, or something like that. Anyway, I heard it. And it was made through perhaps one of those interfaces where it moved from his regular body and moved into this temporary, basically another body. But it was more like a suit, you know. Essentially, they had them ready and await when they needed them, I guess, to walk among us. And it's far out, but I just saw it. It's scary. It was scary. But then I realized later on when I was told to go back into the room and take a good look, then I saw spacesuits next to it, and I saw other types of clothing, cold, for cold and things like that, besides space itself. And I realized, oh, this is along with that type of suit. So, and perhaps they use that type of soul transmission to move themselves from one body to another as they need to. So in the Marantxa sense, they could do that also. But as for human beings who are going to be ignited as helpers, sort of like ones who help calm the masses, instead of being totally fearful, having these others to help tell everyone, in much a similar sense to what I'm doing, that things are all right. This is part of the progress of our human race. It's a little bit more traumatic because of the fact that we were cut off for so long and made to think we were, the whole universe revolved around us.
Can you imagine the repercussions if we all woke up tomorrow and no matter what horrible, despicable thing we could figure out as to ways to kill each other, that we would just go do over, just go back and get another body and do over? What if people couldn't kill each other? I mean, no matter what you did, you could not snuff that guy because he's just going to go back and get another suit and he'll be back here tomorrow. What's the point? And, what would society be like with all the gangbangers and all the military if you couldn't kill people?
Right.
Wow. There's a premise for a movie.
Yeah. It would be a pretty strange place. But the thing about it is that those who use the type of technique for resolving their situations would not be included in the uplift of the new type of body, the new type of energies, because it would actually repel it. It wouldn't. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but the type of energy that we possess that draws a person to seek God, to seek greater truth, is a type of polarity, you might say. And then there's another type of polarity which is self-centered and revolves only around selfishness and doesn't care and doesn't look for truth. It's a type of polarity. Maybe that's exactly what it is, and it would be repulsive to this regeneration engine energy that will be hitting our planet perhaps soon.
Now, do the individuals from, if I understand you correctly, if this energy burst, this flash happens, and are these people among us now that will be transfigured, or will they be brought here after the flash?
They're living with us right now.
Are they aware that they might be one of those people that we've been discussing?
Well, there's a great, huge group that hopes to be. I mean, that's the Christian church. But there is a real thing that is out there which says that celestials basically say something like this: we choose. We are the choosers of who will get this. And I guess it has a lot to do with the polarity of the individual. And not so much their religion, it's just the individual themselves. So you could get blasted and nothing happen, I guess. It's almost like calling love more than an emotion, but an energy. And this blast of love, some people just, like water off a duck's back, it doesn't do anything.
I got an email from a greedy Wall Street banker, says, I'll buy one. Are they for sale?
Yeah, this is the kind of things that I, in fact, wondered about that. And then, of course, it was forbidden to even, they were forbidden to do anything about that. Yeah, including the energy from the link. Yeah.
Not every Wall Street banker is a bad guy. I know I rail about them, but maybe there's got to be one or two that are good out there. So, do you think if this beam you're describing, would this be something optically visible? Would it be similar to like someone the old-fashioned taking a picture and the flash goes off?
I think so, because if the energy is similar to what they used in the chamber, it was visible light. There's perhaps a type of visible light with a bluish kind of glow about it. So, maybe there'd be a blue flash, let's say. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But could very well be.
Do you think it would be evident right away to everyone what has happened?
I think that there will be events that will happen that would seem strange. People that you swore were dead would be running around. And this is perhaps only in the type of holographic view of these individuals, but so strong that people would swear that Uncle Joe was walking around again,
In some cases, that might not be the best idea. Wow. What a different circumstance. You wake up in the morning, and there's people here who you thought were dead.
Exactly. Because that's part of the soul uplift. And that is part of what these tremendous big V-wing craft are able to do in a form. But they didn't want to. Didn't exactly point out to me that's what they were going to do. But it was agreed that it was a form of mining, a form of harvesting.
Now, ghosts are reported to harbor anger and act out, episodes of horror that happened in their lives. Will these souls, come back after this flash, are they going to have their same personalities and settle scores, and are they going to be different?
Well, it depends. It depends upon their alignment at a point of time when they are sentient and make a choice. It's like a switch turns, and a person suddenly becomes attuned to the divine fractal within them. And when they get that divine fractal arrangement in their life and it builds a workable soul, is more than a ghost. That's the part that is harvested. But if it is spirit, which essentially can remain in form like a puff of smoke. You blow, you know, I used to smoke and I used to blow smoke rings. And they just sort of keep their form for a while, and then it dissipates. Well, this is much what a ghost is. It isn't permanent enough. The soul didn't have construct. So it wasn't, I guess, salvable or wasn't saved, you said, saved. And as a result, they remain as this energy that sort of dissipates, remaining in their form.
You know, there have been some staggering advances in the study of ghosts and spirits and poltergeists. There are some serious scientists. The footage caught now of orbs of light coming and going, you know, of people being seen, actual communication through white noise generators, asking questions, getting responses. It's not just a broken record playing the same scene over again. It's horrifying to think that these people are trapped in this world for centuries, reenacting the same thing over and over again and stuck there. That's got to be hell.
Yeah, I remember going up to this Koyosung Mountain in Japan. Over there was this mountain, a holy mountain, and many, many different sects of Buddhism out there, but one particular sect of esoteric Buddhism says it's really from there. And there was a tree there, I remember, photographed. I took a picture with this tree, and I took it on purpose because there was a I think somebody wrote up something or something. I had a knowledge that these people had taken a picture, and there was a picture of a person's face in the tree. Well, they say you cannot see it. You can only see it when you take a picture of it. So I looked at the tree real good. I took a picture of the tree without me in it. Then I gave the camera to my wife and said, take the picture again. I'll stand in the tree. And then, you know, when I looked at it, the one with me and the tree, there was a picture of this guy looking at me. I mean, he was embedded in the tree, parts almost like a tree, but definitely there was his face looking at me. And then the story goes that there was a young disciple that killed himself, and people remember this disciple that killed himself, guy that now is stuck in the tree, I guess, waiting for this point of release. But it was interesting to have actual participation and be actual see that guy still stuck in the tree, and I'm right there in the picture. And these are the kinds of things that I had questioned about and received, of course. There's answers to that in the Urantia book. The Urantia book is talk about the primary midwares. Primary midwares are kind of in between being a physical person and a ghost. And they have the ability to move things around, throw stuff, and do things. And these who came out in the first set were essentially part of the rebellious set. In other words, they are on the devil's side. And then there was another side which has to do with the loyalists. And these are the ones that many times, the secondary group, are functional in many, have been in some of the miracle services and doing actual work in helping people with medical problems get well. And they have some abilities like that. So, and I suspect the one that pulled my wife out of the rapids in Bali may have been one of those, because he was able to, he wasn't visible, but he definitely feels like somebody grabbed her. She said, an angel grabbed me and, you know, rescued me, because it was so strong, the grip seemed like it was not mechanical, it was like somebody was behind there. So they do exist, but this is maybe one example of the good guys, but there's also bad guys get talked about. It's a primary midwares, which a Urantia book talks about. And I really didn't have too much experience. I think I had none at the New Jerusalem with these type of invisible creatures, because I would have been introduced that you're going to be interfaced with an invisible one. You can't see him right now. And I didn't go through that. I didn't go through that there. They're all, I was able to be introduced to them.
Well, I think the phrase, do you believe in ghosts, is now completely obsolete. That's saying, like, do you believe in rain? Rain exists.
Yeah.
There is spirits out there. They are quantifiable. They're now scientifically measurable. They've gotten great data. They know that they emit electromagnetism that can be measured. They know they change temperatures that can be measured. I mean, there's real things we have now. And, of course, the EVP phenomenon, the voice phenomenon, that anyone can do. I do not recommend this. I do not recommend this. You could go to a cemetery, walk through there with a digital recorder, and probably hear somebody when you get home. That's probably not a good idea, according to those that have been on the station that have played those recordings for you in the past. Something might follow you home that you don't want to come home with you.
Well, that's the spooky part that has happened. And they are one of the characteristics about these poltergeist type or primary midwares. They're not good guys. They're mischievous and they mess up people's lives. They like to take energy from people, but they are essentially never going to leave this planet. They're going to stay here. And there was some people who went to a place in some of these old temples here, and one that particularly on the island of Molokai that was a historically a temple in which they did human sacrifice. Very rare in Hawaii, but there was one there. And these guys wanted to get in touch with their ancient past and heritage, and they slept over there overnight, and damn, they'd never want to go back there again, because stones were, heavy stones were, 50-pound stones were moving across the floor of where this temple was, and moving back and forth. They were afraid of that. These were demonstrations of that. And there's many, many things about, in Hawaii that have showed these individual type, these beings having the ability to not only move small stones, but stones huge that bulldozers, D8s couldn't push. You know, D8s and D9s had a difficult time pushing.
Well, Michael, we're at the top of the hour. It always flies by. Every time you're on with us, it's probably that alien thing that's making the time distorted in some fashion to make it go by. It's at least seem to go by faster. Folks, that's all the time we have for this week. We're right up against the top of the hour. Michael does this program because he told his celestial friends that he would help spread the word. And we're grateful he uses this platform, among others. You can hear Michael on Hello Earth dot, what is it?
I-N-F-O.
Dot info. Hello Earth dot info with Curtis Cooperman. And on, Broadcast Urantia. I'm sorry, it escaped me there. BroadcastUrantia.com as well. And any questions or comments for Michael, you can always send them here to the station, and we'll make sure he gets them regardless if you're listening live or to an archive. Michael, stay well. It's we're so grateful you do this program with us, and I look forward to this hour every week, and it just flies by.
Okay, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity, and I say us because I'm not participating alone, because they many times are just feeding me information, directing my thoughts.
Well, thank you very much, Michael, and listeners, for supporting this broadcast. We appreciate it. If you like us, tell your friends. If you hate us, tell your enemies. But help get the word out there. Let people make up their own minds. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week, everybody.